Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Live Up to Freedom Radio, hosted by Annie Cyrus.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Live Up to Freedom Radio. I'm your host, Annie Cyrus. Welcome back. And as you join us, make sure to share this radio with everyone you know, because not only I have a very, very special guest today, but the topic is absolutely important that I wish everybody in America would listen to. On that note, I'm just going to quickly let everybody know that our website, liveuptofreedom.com, has finally been redesigned and updated, so feel free to go in there and get educated on all things Live Up to Freedom. With that being said, it is my privilege and honor to introduce our guest this evening, Jeff Cruer. He's the host of an award-winning program named Ringside Politics. He's also the author of the book, America's Last Chance, who recently at David Horowitz Freedom Center had him on as a speaker on a webinar, and he's a regular guest on Glasov Gang. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Annie. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for giving us your time, because I know you are a very, very busy person, but I appreciate you giving me your time.
Of course. My pleasure.
Okay, let's get us started, because I know there's a lot we need to cover today. And as I mentioned at the beginning, hopefully everybody's sharing this and everybody's listening. But we promised everyone we're going to dive in and review Joe Biden's, presidency, which to me and you and those who are aware of what's happening is a disaster for our country. However, before we go there, you recently published an article about Hunter Biden, and we did a segment with you hosted by Dr. Jamie Glasov going into more details. But I just want to know if you could take a few minutes of this program before getting to the father, Joe Biden, if you could just quickly tell our audience about Hunter and how his getting away with felonies and making millions of dollars, living a luxurious life just solely based on the fact that his last name is Biden.
It's amazing, Annie. It's amazing. He is a jack of all trades. He's a financial services advisor. He's a business consultant. He's an author. He is an artist. He can do anything he wants to do, and every time he seems to cash in handsomely. He did incredible business working for Burisma, even though he didn't know anything about the country, the industry, the language. He then parlayed his, business savvy into a business deal in China. And, of course, he traveled on Air Force Two and was able to meet with Chinese officials. And, of course, his dad claims he didn't know much about what Hunter was doing, but I don't believe that for a second, Annie. I think his dad was very aware of what Hunter was involved in. And that's what Tony Babalewski says, the business advisor that worked with the Bidens, and he believes that Hunter was cutting his dad in on deals, and that his dad was well aware of what Hunter was doing. And Joe Biden, of course, has denied it, but I think Tony Babalewski and others say that there was obviously a connection there between father and son. And, he has been someone who's been troubled. He's had a troubled personal life. He's had a troubled substance abuse history. Annie, he was kicked out of the Navy. He's had many instances of being captured on video, smoking crack, the laptop from hell that the FBI has had since December of 2019. Shows many images of him engaged in illegal behavior, and nothing has happened to him. He lied on a background check in purchasing a firearm. Nothing happened to him, even though that's a felony. And, you know, his latest scams are maybe his most audacious. He got a $2 million advance from Simon & Schuster to write a memoir. And then he goes into the art world, and even though he's never been an artist, never had any training, he is going to start selling art for supposedly $500,000 per art work. So this is you know, this is the kind of money that people would pay for a Picasso. Not exactly something you expect people to pay for a piece of artwork done by Hunter Biden. So it's really it's shameful. It's so corrupt. It is trading on his father's name. It's influence peddling. It's everything that any kind of ethics that any administration would have would of course prevent from happening. But Hunter can do whatever Hunter wants to do. So it's continuing, Annie, and I think it's shameful. I really do.
I would agree 100%. And interesting enough, if you actually follow the money, as they said, it didn't start, nor does it end, with Biden family. It feels like if you have the last name of those on the left, for example, Clinton, Harris, if you have those last names, you literally just, first of all, you automatically get jobs that you're not qualified for. You pass all background checks regardless of your past, and you just become millionaire without having any credential or credibility just because you have that last name. Am I correct on that pattern?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's shameful. It really is. It's trading on the family name, and it really is illegal influence peddling. That's how I see it.
Well, I'm glad you brought you used the word illegal. Is there anything anyone can do to stop this, or is it just going to keep going and we're just going to have to put up with it?
I don't think Hunter's going to stop. I don't think his father's going to crack down on him. I think Hunter has always been sort of treated with kid gloves by his dad. From looking at some of the text messages between father and son, Joe Biden is always very deferential toward his son, and always, you know, he's a father. He loves his son, but he is someone that has given his son the leeway to do things that he shouldn't be doing. And he hasn't never really cracked down on it. So, I mean, his dad thinks that everything Hunter does is great. And, you know, he's never criticized Hunter, even when he's been involved in very shady activities. So I don't think it's going to stop, Annie. I think it's going to continue on for as long as, you know, Joe Biden is in public life. For as long as Hunter can make money on it, he's going to continue to do it. And he'll come up with new ways to scam people out of their money. So the artwork is just the latest scam. He's a scam artist. He really is.
Lord have mercy. Okay, since we talked about the son, let's move on to the father who has been enabling son's bad behavior. Let's just start from day one. So Joe Biden, everybody knows this. Some people might deny it, but as you mentioned on your previous webinar at the center, David Horowitz Freedom Center, Joe Biden has started his presidency as a dictator, flat out. Anything he wanted to do, he just used that pen to turn it into executive order. Now, hypocrisy aside, because he was going after President Trump for signing few executive orders, that aside, if you could explain to our listeners that how did that dictatorship, that mood, that move of many and many executive orders, how did that affect our republic?
Well, I'll tell you, it has had a detrimental effect. It has had a very negative impact because what Joe Biden has done is continue with what Barack Obama did, where Obama said that all I need is my pen and my phone, and I can do pretty much whatever I want, regardless of what Congress says or the courts. So Obama took a lot of actions on his own executive orders. And it's all a new level now of activism under Joe Biden. So he is taking it to a whole nother level. He's issued more executive orders in the first few months than any president in memory. So he has decided not to worry about Congress or the courts or getting consensus from the American people. He's just doing it. And the thing about it, Annie, is he doesn't have a mandate. Even if you believe the election results, and I think they're fraudulent, but if you believe the election results, the Democrats have a bare majority in the Congress. Joe Biden won, quote-unquote, won a very small margin of victory against President Trump, if you believe the numbers. So there's no mandate for Biden to push through this radical agenda, but he's doing it anyway. You know, other government expansions that we've had in the past, whether it be LBJ or FDR, they won landslide victories. So they had the public behind them. Their plans were endorsed by the American people. Biden doesn't have that. He didn't win a mandate. He didn't win an overwhelming victory. His party has a bare majority in both the House and the Senate. But he's acting like he does, which is very, very troubling.
I am so glad you said that. If you don't mind, I'm going to get sidetracked here for 1 second or maybe 10 minutes. Election. Majority of Americans are to this day questioning this election. And
right.
Biden or his handlers, none of them even bothered to address this. And me, as an American myself, I would expect a president who supposedly won this election, no doubt about it, and he's the most popular, loved, wanted president, would address this issue, would give a peace of mind to his fellow Americans that he is supposedly leading. They all completely just let it, it wasn't even denying it. It was just not addressing it. What kind of message does that give us Americans?
Well, it gives a message that they don't care. They don't care about the concerns that millions of Americans have about the election. They don't care about the real problems that we had with the way the 2020 election was conducted. There's legitimate concerns about all of the mail-in balloting and all of the various procedures that were not followed. And, we've got people that have been investigating it now for months, and I think we're going to get some more results hopefully soon that'll prove that there was election fraud. But, the Biden administration acts like if you bring up anything about election fraud, you're trying to suppress the vote. You're trying to perpetuate the big lie. So they're purposely ignoring the concerns that so many people have about the election. And now what we see, Annie, is, with the Delta variant coming and the COVID numbers going up and with the Biden administration allowing all these hundreds of thousands of people to come across the border with COVID. That's going to now lead to concerns about the 2022 midterm. And they're going to be saying, oh, well, we're going to have to do the same thing we did in 2020 and do mail-in ballots, and people aren't going to be able to vote in person, and the same sort of shenanigans which happened in 2020, they're going to make sure that it happens again in 2022, which to me will lead to another stolen election.
Exactly. I actually repeatedly tell everyone, don't give up, but still go out and vote or whatever it takes. But let's be honest. None of us are going to trust any future election unless this one has been addressed with fact and proof.
Right. I mean, we need the truth. We need to get to the bottom of what happened. And I don't think we can go forward until we get to all the details about the various fraud that was perpetrated in November of 2020. And, you know, that's going to have to happen. And hopefully it will. Hopefully it will. And that's the only way I think we're going to have confidence in the election going forward.
I agree. I completely agree. And that's my coming from where I come from, which is Islamic Republic of Iran. One thing I very quickly learned about the regime over there is the moment they try to shut you down, the moment now over there it's a little harsher. They, you know, either put you in prison or just kill you for saying anything against the regime. But the moment they do that is when for fact you know that you're right and they're hiding something. I can't help but to look at what is happening since January of 2021 to today, and it's like a mirror image to me. It's like Biden administration is hiding so much that they are using social media shadow banning and algorithm and shutting down and banning pages, all of that to hide what? Again, if they have nothing to hide, they should let us ask the questions.
Right, right. Well, I mean, they're very concerned about the American people getting the truth, and they want to prevent us from getting the truth about the 2020 election. So they're working with social media. They characterize all the questions as a big lie. They claim that Donald Trump is perpetrating a big falsehood, and that, you know, he's just spoiled loser, and he's, you know, creating all of this confusion around the country, and, you know, there's nothing to see here. Joe Biden won fair and square, and what I think we got to remember, you know, Joe Biden had run for president twice before, and he failed abysmally both times, and supposedly he ran this time and got 12 million more votes than Barack Obama, and 15 million more votes than Hillary Clinton, and 7 million more votes than Donald Trump got. And I just don't believe it, Annie. I think the results are fraudulent, and I'm hoping and praying that we will get to the truth and that the American people will understand the truth, and that we'll not have another election like 2020 ever again. Because if we don't have free and fair elections, we don't have a republic. I mean, we cannot sustain our constitutional republic without free and fair elections.
Agreed. And following up on what you just said, now, Biden ran twice, failed miserably, but then we can look at the team, Biden-Harris. Results are showing now that Kamala Harris's popularity numbers are the lowest for a VP since the 1970s. How are we supposed to believe that a man who failed twice and a woman who has the lowest popularity numbers since the 70s literally won this election, breaking U.S. history record of votes? Like, why can't people just put two and two together, Jeff?
I know. You make a good point. You've got an unpopular president, an unpopular vice president. You've got someone who is mentally incompetent, who's got all kinds of mental issues. And then you've got Kamala Harris, who's just unlikable. She is not someone that people, get excited. I mean, people aren't excited about her. They look at her as someone who is arrogant, someone who's an elitist. She doesn't have a good track record as far as, connecting with people. She did not do a good job in the presidential race. She didn't even make it to the first primary. She dropped out early. And then she got selected by Joe Biden, which was strange. So maybe Barack Obama wanted Biden to choose her. I don't know. Maybe the powers that be told Biden that they wanted him to choose a woman of color. I'm not sure. But she is not a very good politician. She doesn't come across well. She's not smooth. She's not particularly effective. She's no Barack Obama. She's sort of an unpleasant person. So, I can understand why the poll numbers are so low, because she just really has done a very poor job as vice president. I mean, look at what she's done at the border. She's been terrible.
Well, here's the question. I don't think at this point, Jeff, the question is if she's done a good job. It's the question of did she do any job? I feel like every time I look at her as the vice president, she's not doing anything. She's either giggling and laughing at the problem, or she's hiding, or she's saying something really stupid about the problem.
You're right.
Unless
she's
I think
you're right. She's not a problem solver. She's not getting anything done. She's just someone who Biden has now selected to be the point person for, various issues. And it's a joke because he puts her, on the border to be the point person on the border crisis. And it takes her months to get to the border. And then she only goes one time and doesn't actually even go to the border. And then the place where she goes is not really the hot spot. So she doesn't even see the real problem. And it's just, one thing after another. She's someone who's ineffective. And it looks like to me that, Joe Biden has got a partner there who's not helping him very much. So you got a mentally incompetent president, and you got an ineffective, incompetent vice president.
Oh boy, isn't that scary and embarrassing? But let's break it down. I would say, me personally, this is my very biggest issue with one of many bad decisions Joe Biden has made. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start with this because I'm very biased. You are very well aware that Biden administration and his handlers are literally tripping over each other to get to negotiation table with Islamic Republic of Iran so we can hand them more billions of dollars and capability to basically, wipe Israel off the map. What are your thoughts on this decision, and where is it going to go for us as Americans?
I think you have a right to be concerned. I mean, I think that's exactly what they want to do. They want to work out a deal with Iran, and they want to get back into this nuclear deal. And it's something that obviously President Trump got out of, and he really, I think, saw it as something that was detrimental to our national security, and didn't think he could trust Iran. And I don't think we can, but I think Biden and Harris had the same mentality as Barack Obama, and they want to have this quote-unquote deal for their legacy. And they believe that this is something that will look good in their records. So they're gonna do whatever they can to make sure that this deal happens. But how can we make a deal with a country that is the number one supporter of terrorism in the world, and that is completely untrustworthy? I mean, how can you have a deal with a country that lies continually? I don't understand, Annie.
Well, here's the most recent report that I've been covering as much as I can. How are we planning to make a deal? And here's the thing from my life experience. You make deals with those you trust. How are we going to make a deal with Iran and trust the regime when, as recent as 2 weeks ago, an American Supreme Court issued an indictment against four Iranian operatives trying to kidnap an Iranian-American journalist and take her back to Iran? How does this even work? Why are Americans not on their feet on the streets screaming no deal with Iran? They are trying to kidnap our fellow Americans, including me, Annie Cyrus, because we are practicing our God-given freedom of speech in America. That makes absolutely no sense, but I guess, Jeff, it takes us back to very middle of an information war. Most Americans don't even know about it. To this day, I'm asked if I'm from Iraq. I'm like, no, Iran, the one with the N at the end, because there's not enough information out there for people to know who we're even dealing with so they can complain about
Correct.
The deal.
Correct. There's an information deficit. There is a lack of knowledge as to what the Iranians are really doing. So you're right. I mean, that's why the administration will have sort of leeway to do whatever they want to do, because, you know, the American people aren't really following it. And there's so many other issues that the American people are looking at, from the border to the economy to what's going on with COVID to the election issue and everything else, that, you know, the Iranian issue is not at the forefront at all. People don't really even know. So, you know, I know President Trump made it a big issue, and he condemned what Obama did in giving the Iranians all that money and paying them off to sign the deal. But I think, yeah, there's just so many other issues that are at the forefront that people don't understand what the Iranians are about. They really don't. I don't think they understand the danger of dealing with them. I don't think they understand the evil regime and what they're involved in. I don't think there's a full comprehension of it, Annie.
I agree, and hopefully between all of us who are out here trying to inform people, we get to where they will understand the dangers and they will take actions as needed. Since we are halfway through our program, if you don't mind, Jeff, I'm going to read you a couple of the questions from our audience, as I normally like to address their questions as well. So here's a question from one of our listeners. I am convinced that this is Obama's fourth term we are in. He pulled the deep state strings in the shadows to counter Trump all through the Trump term, but he cannot officially become president again. And Kamala is going to get wiped out even with Democrats cheating. But what are the odds that Hillary will finally get into the office as Biden's replacement?
I don't think Hillary is going to be president. I don't think Hillary is going to be able to come back. I think Hillary had her chance, and, you know, she just couldn't get it done. So I don't see that happening. I do agree that Obama is pulling the strings and that he is sort of the power behind the throne, and he's calling a lot of the shots for this administration. And, yeah, he's someone that's very engaged. Unlike Biden, I think Obama is mentally alert, smart guy, and he is calling a lot of the shots behind the scenes and Same with Susan Rice, who is one of the top aides of Barack Obama, and he's and she's got a top position in the Biden administration. So, yeah, I think Barack Obama is very involved in everything that is going on in this administration.
Sadly, a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people still understand what a damage Obama and his administration done to our country during the 8 years of Obama. I don't think they can even comprehend what they've done.
Right. Right. Well, you're correct. You're correct. I mean, so many from what Barack Obama did to race relations, he set Americans at odds with each other. You know, he was supposed to be a big uniter, and then he was going to bring people together. But he did the exact opposite. I mean, brought about division and created, you know, more racial strife. He was not someone that brought the country together. He was a big divider, and that was one of the real negatives of his administration. And then he never believed in American exceptionalism. He always criticized our country. He never believed that this was the best country on earth, and he wanted to bring us down to the same level as other countries, and he would go overseas and criticize America. And, you know, that's not what we saw with President Trump, and I think that's what Americans hope for in a president. President's going to be someone who's going to believe that this country is the greatest country on earth. And I just don't think Obama believes that. I really don't.
Well, no, and I do remember when Michelle Obama said that she's so ashamed of being an American. Remember that time?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I said. You got to give it to them. They say what they feel. People are just not listening.
Right. It's amazing that you've got people that have all the perks, the privileges, the benefits, the money, the power, the prestige that they received from the American people, still to have a negative attitude about America and still to be looking down on America. That's amazing to me. That takes incredible arrogance. I mean, they should be so grateful at everything that they were given by this country. But no, they come across as people that are just angry and don't believe that, you know, this is the greatest country on earth. And I don't know, it's sad, very sad. And I think he did a lot of damage as president of the United States, and he's doing a lot of damage now through Joe Biden.
Yeah, agreed, and that's the thing. Unfortunately, if people would pay a little bit of attention, and if my fellow Americans were a little less worried about labels and a little bit more worried about their freedom, they could have seen that this racial division created by Obama happened when we had a black president in the office claiming oppression of black people. If they would have just looked at that, they're like, wait a minute, what oppression? You're the president.
Right. Right. I mean, it's so ridiculous. I mean, and then to, you know, claim that this was a racist country. You know, he was elected president. And, you know, I don't think racists elected him. I think he was elected by a lot of people who wanted to see an African-American become president. They thought that it would be helpful to the country. I think a lot of people voted for him because they thought it was going to be a step forward in race relations in America. So they said, all right, well, let's give Barack Obama a chance and let's support him. And that's not racism. That shows that the American people, I think, wanted to elevate Barack Obama to the presidency. And he got elected because of all the white voters. If it wasn't for white voters, he would have never been elected president. So instead of having an appreciation for that, instead of being grateful and talking about how, you know, this country has had so much success in bringing progress to the African-American community and bringing African-Americans to new levels of success, you know, there was just this sort of negative view that, you know, we're not doing enough and that we're still a racist country. And it's just the focus on the negativity as opposed to the positivity, as opposed to the success that we should have been celebrating. So it's just, it's a shame. And it's still going on now. It's still, we're still focusing on, you know, the past. And instead of celebrating, you know, the strides that African Americans have made, we're focused on, you know, slavery and Jim Crow and looking, you know, decades and centuries in the past, as opposed to, you know, celebrating the success that this country has provided African Americans.
Agreed. And as an immigrant, I can definitely say that America is the place to achieve your American dream. All it takes is willpower,
right,
and appreciation, actually. I came here, funny enough, a week from today will be 19 years that I've been in America. And I can tell you my race, my skin color, my background, my accent, none of them stopped me from doing whatever it is I wish to do. The only people who are stopping me are the Democrats in power.
Right.
Other than that, no one has ever bothered me or oppressed me or paid me less for being who I am. As long as I was able to do the job and I was qualified for the job, I had the job or the opportunity or whatever comes with it. So this whole myth of systematic racism needs to literally just disappear, and I don't think it will disappear unless people come to realize, stop buying into the lies. First of all, every country, every nation has its own history, good or bad. That's what makes us who we are, what we are as a nation. So stop letting them guilt you into whatever happened hundreds of years ago and give in to their demands. But
yeah. You're so right. You're so right. And, you know, that's what we do so often in this country. We, you know, we get focused on what happened hundreds of years ago, and the image is, oh, well, you know, we still have all these problems today, when in reality we've made tremendous strides, and we should be celebrating the progress we've made and celebrating the opportunity that we give people of all races here. This is a land of opportunity. This is why you have people from all over the world wanting to come here. Because they can achieve their dreams, they can achieve success. So obviously this is not a country that is a racist country, because you wouldn't have people from all over the world wanting to come here if it was. So it's amazing, Annie, that you've got this kind of negativity being taught in the classrooms and being promoted by the media. But I don't think it's true. I don't think it really reflects what this country is at all.
Agreed. Let's break down one more of Biden stuff. Questions are coming in, and I am seeing them. Just give us a minute. We will get to your questions in a minute. But one thing that I have heard from you a lot, Jeff, and I've read your pieces, is Biden administration and mainstream media are claiming that Biden came in and saved us and our economy. But from listening to you and reading your material, I know that's a lie. Would you please break down the Biden economy in last 8 months of our nation and its future effect on our next generation?
Joe Biden has been a disaster for the economy. He inherited a economy that, you know, President Trump had really prior to the pandemic, it was going at a tremendous clip. We had 3.5% unemployment. We had 7 million jobs that were created. Then the pandemic hit. And we, by the time President Trump left, we were starting to recover. And things were going in the right direction. So Biden gets in, and he starts with these executive orders and decides to shut down the Keystone Pipeline and put a moratorium on drilling in federal waters and federal lands. Gas prices start going up. Other commodities start going up. Grocery prices start going up. We have inflation rearing its ugly head again. We now have the highest increase in prices that we've had in the last 10 years. So we've got gasoline prices going up, food prices going up, commodities going up. And it's sort of reminiscent of Jimmy Carter, who was a failed president who destroyed the economy. And he was terrible on energy issues. He was terrible as far as, you know, growing jobs in this country. And I think Joe Biden's got a lot of similarities to Jimmy Carter. So it's been a real negative 6.5 months of Joe Biden as president. And I think I think if he keeps going in this direction, I think the Democrats are going to get hurt. I think people are going to say, hey, we don't want to, you know, reward Biden and the Democrats for these policies. And I think it's going to help the Republicans. So the economic record, I think, has been pretty poor. We've also seen spending through the roof. We've seen, the debt skyrockets. That's adds inflationary pressures as well. So all of this together, I think, has been pretty negative, Annie.
And again, it amazes me how mainstream media even has the capability to claim, oh, we have much better economy now. And then people who I have had people, Jeff, message me or see me like, oh my goodness, I just got another check. Yay. I'm like, please tell me you're not going to cash that check. Like, this is going to affect their economy. These stimulus checks and pays are, Biden isn't yay a president because you're getting money. Like, it feels like people don't understand this concept of all of these so-called COVID relief checks are not good for our nation. It's not good for our economy. It's definitely not good for our future.
It's not. And we don't want people deciding to collect checks and not going back to work. And that's what I'm worried about, that people will, you know, continue to collect this money and they won't go back to their jobs. And a lot of small businesses were going to have to close their doors because they're not going to have the employees that they need to stay open. So we need people going back to work. We need to stop all the free money. We need to support small business. We need to stop all these lockdowns and mandates. And we need to get back to normality as much as possible. And I know that, Biden doesn't believe that, that he, you know, wants to keep people sort of, I think, scared about COVID and lockdown and collecting money. And but I think President Trump had a different attitude. He was, you know, trying to get the economy rolling again. And, I mean, if President Trump would still be president, I don't think we'd have inflation. I don't think we'd have the gas prices we do. I think more small businesses would be open. I don't think we'd be giving away all this money. I think we'd be in a much better economic situation if President Trump we're still president.
Well, that's exactly why they had to do what they did on election night. I strongly believe, by the way, just in case if I didn't say it, I completely agree with you. This election was fraud, stolen. This was all planned. And I always go a little bit more than paranoid, and I say I think they started testing our tolerance by COVID. We all obeyed so well, they realize they can steal our election and nothing's going to happen. We're all going to just put our head down and go on like nothing has happened, which is the final test for communism in this country. Are we going to fight back? Looks like we won't. But they had to steal this election. They had to get rid of President Trump because he was about to put the country back to where it should be.
Right. Right. You're right. You're right. I mean, just look at what they had to do to get rid of President Trump. I mean, this whole thing, this whole COVID thing, the election fraud, I mean, all of it together was what they engineered to get rid of him. And they couldn't afford him continuing as president. And I think China was at the forefront. I don't think China wanted President Trump to continue. They didn't want a guy who was going to be tough on them. So they know Biden is a much easier president as far as dealing with China. So, yeah, I mean, they engineered all of it, and it was, I think, done in a pretty effective way, and they pulled it off. But I'm hoping that we're going to be able to expose it, and I'm hoping the American people will come to understand what happened in 2020, because we can't ever allow it to happen again. So that's why we need the truth to come out, Annie.
Absolutely. Jeff, if you don't mind, we have a caller who's been on hold for a good time. Is that okay if you bring our caller on air to ask the question?
Of course, of course.
Hi. I am sorry. My producer is not with me today. So who am I speaking to?
My name is Nathan in Orlando. I'm really enjoying your conversation, even though I would have to say I'm closer to you guys and what I hear you saying, but I see some things that the right is missing. This whole thing, the Republicans are not who they say they are, and as long, I'm gonna tell you something, Trump did not get elected by the people to repeal one Democrat policy. Every policy he got elected for came from the Republican Party, and they manage it, and they keep us hanging on. And I think the time that Trump got in there, we've seen that the Republicans and Democrats politicians are really one party, and they got down here at the bottom, me and you, Democrat, Republican, fussing with each other. I want to point something out that I want you to go check, and you will see that what I'm saying is true. On the policies like, for instance, the abortion, if you believe in abortion, we know Democrats' place for you, and if you're pro-life. But the Republican Party is the one that gave us abortion. If you look at Title 10, this was George H. Daddy Bush, Congressman George Bush, in 1969, wrote a bill called Title X, the X stands for 10, that funds Planned Parenthood, and that was before Planned Parenthood was in anybody's mind. In 69 and 70, Republican Nixon signed it, and then 73, seven of the nine judges who ruled for Roe v. Wade were Republican appointed. And I can go down all the subjects, and you'll see that same pattern. But here's the thing I want you to really look at right now. There's a lot of people that's been seeing this. I was a Republican from 1978. You there?
Yes. Yes.
Am I still on? Okay, but anyway, in 1978, when I turned 18, I became a Republican because that was my roots. But in 04, after being in the military and I served under Reagan, Bush, and my reserve time was under Clinton, and I followed real close the Republican Party, and it didn't make any sense. But in 04, I got my first computer, and I went to the Great Depression, and I looked at the Republicans' policies, and the Republicans have never been did what they say they believe in. They play the game at election time, and they win and lose some, but they've never really had the platform, the conservative platform, except for the two terms of Reagan, and then they went right back to it. The whole global economy, if you look up.
If I may interrupt, I apologize to interrupt, but and first of all, thank you for the information, Nathan, but that's actually exactly why my organization name is Live Up to Freedom, not Live Up to Democrats,
yeah.
not Live Up to Republicans, not Live
good,
Up to
good.
Liberals, Live Up
well,
to Freedom. On this station,
well,
at least, hold on,
yeah,
on this
can
station,
I
this
what,
isn't about
okay.
left or right, this is about the American Constitution and us, the people, we the people, who hold the power. So the purpose is to educate fellow Americans on what is happening so they can take action by practicing their God-given rights on the Constitution. Go ahead
yes.
and wrap up your point, if you could, within a
okay.
minute, because we
Just
are almost at the end of the program.
One last point. One last point. Thank you for your time. One last point, and then I'll drop and keep listening to you. I really enjoy your show, though. But listen, if you go to the supervisor of elections in each county, and you'll see the no-party affiliates, like in my state, Florida, they're called no-party affiliates, and other states are called independents. They are outnumbering the Republicans by 100,000 votes in registered no-party affiliates here, out-registered, outnumbered. The Republicans are the minorities, and we hear after every election the people have spoken. I'm saying go look and see how weak the Republicans are on registered voters versus the independents or no party affiliates, and then say the people are speaking. Let us hear what they're saying. And I thank you for your
yes.
time. And I know much of what I was saying was getting my therapy, but I didn't want to interrupt your show. But I'm going to hang up and keep looking, listening.
I appreciate the call, Nathan. Thank you. Jeff, anything you want to add to?
Yeah, I would just say this to the caller. The Republican Party is sort of a split party. You have a rhino establishment wing, a wing where you have the Bushes and the Romneys and the people like Liz Cheney, and those who have historically been in power. He mentioned Ronald Reagan. That was really an era when I think you had a more conservative Republican Party. Sadly, after he left, it reverted back with the Bushes again, and then you had McCain and Romney, and not until you had Donald Trump did you really see the Republican Party going another direction. And I think Donald Trump is the first president who has really put America first, who has tried to secure our border, tried to make sure that, you know, we were not going around the world nation building and sending our troops everywhere. I mean, he really did, I think, have an interest in putting our country first. He was an America First presidency. And I think a lot of people in the Republican Party despised him. He's got a lot of enemies within the Republican Party. So the battle is still on. I mean, we'll see what kind of Republican Party is going to exist in 2024, whether President Trump will be the nominee again or whether it'll revert back to, you know, the old establishment Republican Party. And I think the caller's right. The old establishment Republican Party is not popular. And I think the Donald Trump version of the Republican Party is. So I hope whether President Trump or someone like him is going to be the nominee in 2024 to really provide an alternative, a choice to the American people in the next election.
100% agreed. Yes, exactly. And that I agree. I personally do say that Republican Party needs to step up. We need more leaders like President Trump, or I mispronounced his name, I think, Governor DeSantis, Congressman Jim Jordan. These are the type
right.
of Republicans we need, because they are standing
yes.
up They are loud. They're not giving into establishment. They are not afraid of labels. The more enemy they create, the more I know they are America first.
Right. Correct.
However,
right.
I do want to squeeze a few more questions in the remaining time we have. So I'm going to make my questions shorter so you have time to answer them. What is there anything we can do about mainstream media? Because right now they're putting out the narrative, they're putting out the brainwashing, they're putting out all the lies. Is it hopeless? Is there anything we can do? Is there reversing this mainstream media?
Well, I think we just have to keep doing what we can to get the truth out and to use the forums that we have and promote them and try to get the American people to see the alternative to what the mainstream media is saying, because they're biased, they've got an agenda, in the tank for Joe Biden. They're working with Biden and promoting his administration. I mean, just look, Annie, at the press conferences and think back to when President Trump was president. I mean, the media used to go after President Trump and ask him all these tough questions. And now for Biden, they ask him about what flavor ice cream he likes and talk to him about, his bike rides and ask him, what TV shows he's watching. I mean, it's pathetic. So I think we just have to keep doing what we're doing and provide alternatives to this mainstream media and let the American people know that that is not the truth, that they are pursuing an agenda. And hopefully at some point the American people will see through it.
Agreed. And if you don't mind me adding one more thing, I think one of the biggest issues we have right now is that we're not united. One thing I always give credit to the left, regardless of what the bill is, what the agenda is, what the message is, they are so united. They got each other's back regardless of the small differences. On our side, on the other hand, it feels like if the smallest thing that we disagree on, we just detach each other and we just don't get behind the movement, behind the message, behind the channel, whatever the case might be. We really need to work on that. Doesn't matter who's the messenger, we need to get the message out.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And we can learn some things from the left. They're disciplined, they're united, they work together, they're relentless. I think that they've got a lot of skills that they employ to pursue their agenda. So we can learn from them and be more effective on our side. And unfortunately, we don't have that same sort of unity that the left has. But hopefully we can get there, and hopefully we can become more effective.
Absolutely. That is definitely the hope. On that note, where can our listeners go to follow you, get your message out, and learn more?
Thank you, Annie. The best way is my website, which is my last name, crewere.net, and it's crewere.net, and have information there about my columns and my shows and videos and my book and all kinds of interesting information there. So I would encourage people to check out the site to learn more. And thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you. I appreciate it, Annie.
Oh, absolutely. It was my pleasure, and thank you for giving us your time. And dear listeners, please do go to queer.net and check out Jeff's work. I've been very much more educated on the topic. That is not my area of expertise, so I encourage you to go and check him out and listen to his I believe your podcast is daily, correct?
Yes. And I'm on in the mornings, and I do a show every morning, so people can check it out. And there's a link to it on the website.
Fantastic. And after you do that, make sure to go to liveuptofreedom.com and check out some of my work, because that is what we're doing. We're trying to get you educated. Thank you so much again, Jeff, for being with us, and hopefully we have you back at some point.
I'd love it. Thank you, Annie.
Absolutely. And thank you so much to my audience who stayed with us. I will talk to you all next week, the same time, same channel, with Robert Spencer as my guest. Make sure to tune in. With that being said, stay safe and goodbye.